Hey everybody, welcome to Wood with Handles. This is episode 28 for the week of October 21st. I'm Ryan.
I'm Josh. It's been an interesting week of baseball. We are down to the World Series. Red Sox and Cardinals are going all the way. Basically the exact opposite of my prediction. I know you have the Cardinals, and I guess we'll start with that. The Dodgers Cardinals not you because you're a Tigers fan, but for me was the way bigger series and the one that I focused on way more. And I said last week that I really didn't think the Dodgers would be able to pull it off, but I was still cheering for them, and I still continued to say that they would come out of it, and they didn't. They made a good push for it, but Kershaw got really torn up in game six, and it's over now for the Dodgers. I mean, this is a team that started as one of the worst teams in baseball. I mean, statistically, they should have been great on paper, but they had a lot of injuries and started out with one of the worst records in baseball, and then Puig came up, and now they're here. And yeah, I mean, I'll say it again. I said it last week, and I don't want to go over it again, but I am still beyond blown away, impressed, flabbergasted by how good specifically the Cardinals pitching is.
And that was kind of the story. The Cardinals pitching was absolutely, for the last, really the whole all playoff long, except for a couple games here and there, was, I guess in a word, dominant. There was no way they were going to get hit. And you saw the difference. Kershaw got beat up pretty good in game six. So it's just way better pitching. The Cardinals just showed what they're made of. I mean, they're one of the best franchises in all of sports, and it's hard to compete with them in the playoffs. So you don't discount the Dodgers or what the Dodgers did at all during the year, because they were one of the greater stories. They're one of the more exciting stories in baseball. There was UCL Puig, and then the whole, you know, worst to first type deal with them. So you can't discount them at all, but they showed a little bit of an experience, and they got overmatched. That's all it was.
I will start this off and give people what they want to hear. I will admit that Puig, especially in game six,
I felt so flat.
Yeah, defensively played like shit. I mean, he made some huge, just legitimate rookie mistakes. None of it was running. It was all defense, just fielding. Some of the throws he made from right field to home were just way off the mark. And I mean, just almost uncharacteristically, because if there's one thing even the haters probably can agree on Puig this year, is that his defense has been phenomenal. And he, for me, it was bad. He, especially game six, I mean, he had really struggled this whole series, but I will admit he struggled. And I don't want to say he cost the game. I don't think anything cost the game. I don't think they lost the series. I just think the Cardinals won the series, and they were that much better. But I will admit, I'm sure people want to hear me say that he was wrong. I don't think that he's a terrible player. I still think he's probably the most impactful player in all of baseball. And that's all I will say about Puig for the rest of today. But, it was interesting. I mean, I watched every game of the playoffs. I know I've said that a million times. And I watched all the Cardinals series with Pittsburgh. And, I mean, I even, obviously, through doing this podcast, I do my best to keep up with all the teams and kept up with what was happening in St. Louis throughout the year, and I'm completely unaware of how good their pitching is. I mean, they have hitting through the lineup, which really helps them. I mean, there's really not a position in that lineup that doesn't hit well, but their pitching is just so, so good. It's mind-blowing to me. I mean, they just, pitching alone is what got them to the World Series at this point.
The pitching's always been there all season for the Cardinals. But really the story for the Cardinals kind of all year long was their lineup. I mean, they hit the ball like crazy. Everybody did. And yeah. Carlos Beltran was out of his mind in the playoffs. You see what having Yadi Molina in there does for you. When he wasn't with the team, they were pretty mediocre without him, because he really runs the show for them. But, yeah, it's pitching all the way for the Cardinals. It stepped up. It was big time. And I'm going to have a hard time picking against them in the World Series just because the rotation is so damn good. Yeah. But yeah, continue on what you were kind of saying about Puig. He made a few really bad rookie mistakes in the playoffs. I mean, I don't mind him not using the cutoff to an extent. If he's going to throw a ball over the cutoff's head and then it sails 15 feet over the catcher's head and it causes them a run.
Yes.
Or there's throws that are offline and they're advancing runners because they're just not going where they're supposed to. then I have a problem with that. I don't mind trying to make something happen as long as it doesn't come at, as long as it doesn't come with making errors and scoring runs on bad throws.
Yeah, and I mean, he skipped the cutoff man all year, and he's made some laser beam throws from right field to get people out at every base, including home plate. And they were just, I mean, just bad throws, like throws that he was throwing home when he really like could have just threw it to second, let the run go in and stop the guy from advancing, but then the guy ends up getting to second on what was really a single. I mean, it's just some really bad rookie mistakes, and I mean, he'll learn. I mean, he's young. He hasn't even played a full season at this point in the pros, so, I mean, good for him.
Yeah, I don't, before you keep going, I don't want to keep going back and harping on the Puig issue because, I mean, we've talked about him basically all year long since he's came up. But he had a few timely hits, but to me it looked like he was almost like a deer in the headlights. Like he didn't have the full confidence that he normally does. Or I'll say that maybe he was a little starry-eyed. That's kind of what it looked like to me because he has a lot of bad at bats. I mean, he made a couple of really questionable plays in the outfield, so. I mean, that'll come with experience. The more he plays, the better he'll get. But to me, that's just kind of what it looked like.
One thing I would like to, God, I know we said we wouldn't talk about this a lot, but I would like to talk about real quick is I heard it on the TBS broadcast a couple of times, both in the pregame, postgames, and during the live broadcast, people complaining about his patience. All season, people have been harping on this man about how he's too overactive. He swings at the first pitch. He swings at everything. And then he stopped swinging at everything. He got patient. He even struck out looking a few times. Well,
people,
he's too patient.
For it, yeah.
He's too patient. Jesus fucking Christ. The kid can't do anything right. Good for him. Moving on from that topic, but staying with the Dodgers. What needs to change? How do the Los Angeles Dodgers, who, I mean, we know how it is right now. They're the Yankees of old because the Yankees really aren't spending money like this anymore. So they're what the Yankees used to be. We know Magic Johnson's going to spend the money. I mean, what do they do? What gets them to the World Series next year?
You know, I don't know. I think they ran up against a juggernaut in St. Louis, first of all. St. Louis wasn't going to lose. But I think they just need some more support with Kershaw and Greinke. I mean, Ryu is good. But
I think Ryu's good. I think Nolasco is a good five pitcher, but they need a four pitcher.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Greinke to Ryu solid, or I mean Kershaw to Ryu solid, but Nolasco is a good fifth pitcher, even bullpen. But like, I mean, he's not ready for the playoffs, and that's where they. I mean, God, I can't even think.
This was Kershaw's first trip to the playoffs, correct?
I'm thinking back, yeah.
Yeah, because it's only been 3 or 4 years he's been in the league.
Yeah, and the Dodgers haven't been there in a while, and he's only been with the Dodgers. So, I mean, I think the big issue really is we're looking at some bullpen issue.
I think that's a lot of what it has to do because
not to the level of a Detroit.
No,
but they have some bullpen issues right now, and Brian Wilson was really good for them, and J.P. Howell has been good for them. And
see, that's the issue. I mean, you hope to get 7-8 out of Kershaw, and maybe another 6-7 out of Greinke, but with Ryu, with what was the other guy's name? I'm drawing a blank.
Nolasco.
It's what happens after the 6th or 7th inning till you try to get it to Brian Wilson and then to what's his name?
J.P. Howell is pitching a lot, but I can't think of the gentleman's name who's their closer.
Yeah, it's Kenley Jansen.
Yeah.
I was drawing a blank for a minute there. But, yeah, I mean, it's what you need to do to get the ball to Brian Wilson than to get to Jansen. I think that's the real problem right there. And, I mean, maybe if they had somebody or a couple other really solid relievers, that would solve a huge issue. Because they don't really have a number of issues in their actual lineup. Their defense is good. I mean, maybe they have a couple issues with what you do with Kemp when he comes back. But, I mean, maybe having Kemp would have helped a little bit. But
I don't know. I think pitching-wise, their big issue is going to be the bullpen.
The bullpen, yeah.
Yeah, specifically just relief pitching. Not necessarily the closer, because Kenley Jansen's a sufficient closer. He's not the next Mariano Rivera, but, I mean, he's sufficient. He's not Carlos Marmol, who also plays for the Dodgers. And, I mean, he's not Jose Valverde, he's not that bad. I mean, he's...
Kenley Jansen wasn't that bad, actually. I mean,
yeah, I mean, he's sufficient. It's the middle people, because really all they have is J.P. Howell, who really isn't that good, but just for what they have, he's pretty good. And then Brian Wilson, who's phenomenal, but Brian Wilson, A, can't pitch every day. B, has had a lot of injury issues, two Tommy Johns at this point, and he's a free agent now. I would assume the Dodgers are going to pick him up again. They would be stupid not to. But I think a lot of their issue is going to be not issues. I think a lot of their work is going to be coming at the third base position, because Juan Uribe is over on his contract, and I just think there's better options out there. Ellis, who's at second, not their catcher Ellis, but can't ever tell the first name difference, but their second baseman Ellis is also
Mark Ellis.
I believe so. I don't know. Not AJ Ellis. AJ Ellis plays shortstop or catcher for him, but the other Ellis, he is also on free agency now. And there's a very popular second baseman from New York who is testing the fields, and if any team other than the Yankees have the money to pay him, that being Robinson Cano, It is going to be the Dodgers. I would love to see Robinson Cano come to the Dodgers. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he likes being a Yankee, and I think he's just testing the waters to be able to prove that he's worth $300 million in 10 years. But,
God, that'd be the worst contract ever.
So bad. But that's what he wants, and I think the Yankees will give it to him, and I think the Dodgers would also give it to him, but I don't think he will go to the Dodgers because he'd rather be a Yankee. Other than that, their biggest headaches are going to come in the outfield. They right now have five arguably major league-ready outfielders.
All-star outfielders, too.
Yeah. I mean, what do you go with? I mean, I would say I'd say you go with Puig, you go with Crawford.
And then you got to be – it's got to be Kemp. It's got to be.
I mean, but does it? Can he stay healthy? Can Matt Kemp stay healthy? Is it worth it getting rid of Schumacher or – again, I can't think of the other fucking guy's name that blew it in game four. Missed that big catch out there. But, I mean, I'm happy with Schumacher at this point. But Schumacher, what could you trade Schumacher for? You could probably get some good relief pitching for Schumacher. I mean, we're talking arguably all-star level people who they have three people that they could choose from. I would, as a bandwagon Dodger fan, I would like to say get rid of Kemp. I mean, it's not worth it. When he's good, he's great. When he's healthy, he's great, I should say. But he's not healthy too often.
Yeah, the center fielder you were thinking about was Andre Ethier.
That's the name.
I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. I think Matt Kemp's questions are just a little bit too much to answer right now. Again, there's the health issues. Yeah. He's essentially taken a year off. You just don't know about him right now, but I think there's no way you get what
I'm sure he could be talented.
Carl Crawford's got a huge contract. Puig's going to be there. Really now it becomes, what do you do between Ethier and Matt Kemp? I don't know if you platoon him or if there's an everyday guy.
Anybody, you're platooning like they did in the playoffs. You go between Ethier and Schumacher, and you get rid of Kemp. I just that's just my opinion. Obviously, people would argue otherwise. I don't trust the injuries with Kemp. Send Kemp to a team who is building. Send Kemp to like the Cubs.
Yeah.
I don't even know if the Cubs fucking need an outfielder, but I'm just send him to a team that's building, and that would be great for them. Because they don't need him. If he gets injured or he's not 100% going out right now, that's okay. The Dodgers can't do what they did last year, though, where they started arguably the first half of the season, because really it was only like a week and a half before the All-Star break that they got good. So we'll say up until the first half of the All-Star break next year, the Dodgers can't play like garbage. They need to be good. They need to be good right from the get-go, and they just need to be good all year, because this is a team trying to win now. Not in 2 years, not in 3 years. They're trying to do it now.
Yeah, I agree with you. And they have to come out and win that division by All-Star break. You know,
yeah, I'm sure they will.
They could have done it.
Who's gonna take it from them?
Yeah, they could have done it this year if they hadn't struggled so badly in the first half of the season.
But I mean, injuries, and I mean, everyone was injured, and I mean, you have God, I'm really struggling with names today. The other dude that they got from Boston last year.
Andre Gonzalez.
Pitcher. No, the pitcher who's injured right now. Andre Gonzalez pitching, or first baseman. But anyways, they have a lot of people. They have a lot of they have a lot of free agents up right now. I follow the Dodgers on Bleacher Report, and they just post a thing about all their free agents who are going and all the people who rumor that they are looking to get. The biggest one is Robinson Cano, which would be huge for the Dodgers, but I really don't see them doing it. I think if they do get Robinson Cano, I mean, I already thought they were unstoppable this year, and clearly they were very stoppable, but.
You were talking about, I'm sorry, just to stop, you were talking about Josh Beckett just a moment ago.
That's the name.
Yep.
And, I think with Robinson Cano, they, again, in my opinion, are the best team in baseball, but my opinion was completely wrong this year, so what's that matter?
You weren't completely wrong. I mean, they got outplayed. That's all it is to it. If it would have been another team, they probably would have beat the Pirates, or they would have beat, obviously you saw what they did to the Braves, but they were just outmatched. And I mean, that's going to come with experience, and they're really young still, and Mattingly's, you know, a first year coach, so he's going to get used to it. But I think next year you'll see a big difference. I hope you'll see a big turnaround. I think the future is bright for the Dodgers.
Well, the good thing for the Dodgers really is Magic Johnson.
Yeah, he's got endless money.
He's got money, and he's willing to spend it to win now. Magic Johnson wants to win now. They played a lot of interviews with him during the postseason this year, and like talked a lot about how when he came to LA and played for the Lakers, it was a Dodgers city, and it was all about the Dodgers. And he has basically said that whatever it takes, they will spend the money and do whatever it takes to win. And I mean, a lot of teams don't have that. They are spending money, but not to that level. And I mean, the Yankees normally do, but even the Yankees have started to cut back in recent years. And I believe this year they're going way down in money because I think they're getting rid of a bunch of people.
Well, I think the Yankees are starting to change philosophy a little bit, which is, you know, we're not just going to build a team through money. We're going to try and develop something.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a few teams, LA, Detroit, that have those endless budgets that they can just work with. New York, certainly. And Boston's up there too. But I mean, yeah, that's a good thing. Magic Johnson's willing to do whatever he has to do to make this team successful. That's why he's there.
Yeah, absolutely. Enough of the Dodgers. We love them. We'll continue loving them next year. Continue loving Puig even more next year. Hopefully they can do something more impressive next year than get eliminated in the NLCS. The other team who was eliminated was your Detroit Tigers. The Boston Red Sox beat them in 6 games. I also did not see this one coming. I had the Tigers coming out of this one, even though they were down last week when we did the show. I still had them coming out. I still, even after it's over, this is one that I completely disagree with, because where I'm willing to admit the Cardinals were just way better than the Dodgers, I still think the Tigers are a better team than the Red Sox. They didn't play like it towards the end, especially those last 2 games. And I am a Tigers hater, and it's probably weird for people to hear me say this, but like, the Tigers are a better team than the Red Sox, in my opinion. The Red Sox hit home runs and get lucky, which is how they won almost every fucking game in this series, which, I mean, a run is a run, and that's the point of the home run, for it to be there. I'm not saying there shouldn't be home runs for some reason. I'm just saying I think talent-wise, the Tigers are a more talented team.
So let me get this straight. They played, 6 games, so they played 54 innings?
Yep.
And I think out of those 54 innings, I think that Boston had a lead for about 6 of them.
Yep.
Anybody that watched the series would tell you that Detroit outplayed Boston in every way they could possible.
Yep.
Boston just made the hits. Made the hits and made the plays when they needed to. Detroit got solid pitching all the way around from any starting pitcher they got. They just they couldn't hit worse shit.
And yeah, hitting was bad for Detroit, and I mean
when you got a guy with a 10-year, however many million-dollar contract, and he has 0 RBIs and like 1 hit in the series, yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, but he had that awesome slide to third last night. That slide to third was beautiful.
That's the defining moment for the playoffs right there. Or it's at least the best image out of the playoffs so far.
I loved it. I mean, as the Tigers hater that I am, I mean, he turned around and just flopped his fat ass right on the ground.
Oh, man.
Nowhere near third base.
I guess that would pretty much be a microcosm of how the playoffs had gone for Prince Fielder to that point. I mean,
But I called this shit for way before the playoffs.
You did.
I called this shit at the beginning of the year, but specifically before the playoffs, with this bullshit with Miguel Cabrera. Miguel Cabrera should have stopped playing at the end of August, beginning of September, and he should have never played until like maybe one or two games at the end of the season to get back in the swing of things, and he would have been able to rest up. That man was so hurt out there.
He couldn't run to first.
He changed his swing. I mean, he did everything he could, and bravo to him. I mean, hats off to Miguel Cabrera. He did everything he could, and he was in there, and he did bravo. But you know what? I said it when the playoffs started. I said it in August that they were not going to make the World Series if he was not healthy and he wasn't doing right. And I mean, look what happened. They're not in the World Series, and I mean, I would put a lot of blame on Prince Fielder, but I think overall it really falls on the fact that he wasn't healthy.
Yeah, you saw it big time. I mean, there was times when he was running to first, times when you knew he should have made, or times when he should have been there, and there was a lot of double plays that he got ran into because he couldn't run. There's a lot of times ground balls that normal people, probably normally healthy, would have made. You saw it, and I think it was game 5 when he made that turn running from third and kind of ran through the stop sign, and he was out by 10 feet. He was not healthy at all during the playoffs, and it really showed. He struggled a lot, and you just have to think what a healthy Miguel Cabrera what a difference what he would have made.
Absolutely.
It changed his swing. He couldn't move. They were subbing him. They were making defensive substitutions for him in the late innings. Not that that meant much, but I mean, Miguel Cabrera, the kind of player he is, you don't make defensive substitutions for him at the end of the game. Maybe that's just my thought, but come on.
I don't know. I think that was just the tip of the iceberg. I think you put the bulk of the blame on Prince Fielder at this point. Had a terrible postseason.
Mostly they all did. I mean, nothing really happened for them until Leland made that lineup change a couple games ago. I mean, Austin Jackson got moved down. He was really, really bad. Prince Fielder was really bad. I mean, you and I talked about this a little earlier. You saw what the real 1-2 punch for Detroit is. It's Miguel Cabrera and it's Victor Martinez. Those guys together are unbelievable. Prince Fielder, they needed to move him down in the lineup. Jim Leland said it had to do something with Miguel Cabrera and Victor Martinez and everybody running right together and being right after each other, but what should have happened is Miguel Cabrera should have stayed at number 3. Victor Martinez should have moved up. Johnny Peralta should have moved up to 5. And what I think they should have done is moved Prince Fielder down to 6. Cause between Cabrera, Vimar, and then Peralta, who smashed the ball, is really the only one who hit well for him all postseason outside of Victor. That would have been a nice solid lineup right there. Prince Fielder, there was times when people got on base and he came up and it was an important time of the game. There was guys on. He couldn't afford to hit in the double plays. He just knew it was going to happen. He'd hit a weak ground ball. He'd hit a tapper to the pitcher. There was a lot of scoring opportunities that he came up with. He just couldn't cash in on.
Yeah, like I said, I think that you put a lot of blame there. I think some Tigers fans or most Tigers fans would put a lot of blame on the bullpen. That has been something that we've known since before the season. We've known this since last year. They did not address it in the offseason. As we started this baseball podcast, I believe week 2 or week 3 of the season, and it's something I said from the get-go, and especially you and Carl were big on the Tigers bandwagon. I said this was, if they did not do something about it, this was going to be kind of the sinking of the ship right there. Was that weak bullpen, and it never got better. They tried a million different people at closer, and Benoit, I mean, I think Benoit, kind of close to Kenley Jansen, is sufficient. I mean, we're not talking about the new Mariano Rivera or Koji Uehara, but, I mean, he's sufficient. He fills the role of closer, which is all you really need. But, I mean, there's nobody really reliable. Where, like, the Dodgers have a Brian Wilson. The Tigers don't even have a Brian Wilson-level person. Once Scherzer leaves the mound, it's over. I mean, you better have like a 10-run lead because you're giving up at least 6 runs.
Yeah, and you saw that last night. I mean, once it doesn't matter whether it was Sanchez or it was Verlander or it was Scherzer, once they left in the seventh, eighth, whatever it was, you had that feeling like, oh God, here we go again. And game two, you saw it especially. And I think that the game two, when they scored and came back from that 5-0 deficit in the eighth and ninth inning, that was what really broke the Tigers. I mean, and from then on, anytime anybody, me as a fan, I know anybody who I know felt the same way. Whenever there's a reliever came in, it's like, oh God, here we go again. And their failure to address it in the offseason, their failure to address it at free agency, whatnot. I mean, that was essentially their undoing, and you saw that happen last night.
Yeah, it's a shame, but I mean, it's not even just me. I don't want to tap my own shoulder, but like,
called it. Tap your shoulder.
I mean, hate to say I told you so. I mean, but and I it wasn't like so. I said, it wasn't just me. I mean, it was every ESPN analyst. It was everyone. Everyone said the Tigers are great. I mean, this could be the year for the Tigers, but they got to do something with their bullpen. And I mean, they did nothing. They brought Jose Valverde back. That was their solution.
And that wasn't a good solution at all.
I mean, you have Brian Wilson out there. And I mean, sure, some people might say Brian Wilson's overpaid. The Dodgers are paying Brian Wilson nothing right now. He was on like a 1-year temporary, I think he got paid $1 million, which was like the minimum for a veteran, or it was some kind of like, they paid him the bare minimum. You pay him just above minimum and you got him. And I refuse to believe that someone like the Tigers, who are a contending team, who needed relief pitching, weren't at those tryouts, didn't have a shot to get him. I mean, and I'm a big Brian Wilson fan, and he's probably one of the most notable relief pitchers that there are in baseball. That's just one example of many. We're talking about someone who has very little money, who the Tigers easily could have spent that money on, and I mean, I never even heard the Tigers in that conversation when it came to Brian Wilson.
No, there was no conversation.
Yeah, and I mean, why not? Like, it just seemed like, as fans, we all seen it. We all seen, wow, that's a big issue. They don't have anything after they're starting pitching. There's nothing there. But then it just seemed like the team just didn't understand. Like, oh, we're fine. We're just going to – we have Cabrera. We're just going to have him hit 7 home runs every game. Prince Fielder's going to hit another 6 home runs every game. And then Verlander and Scherzer are just going to pitch perfect games every day.
Yeah, and I believe that had a lot to do with it. I mean, I don't know Jim Leland's thinking or David Dombrowski's thinking, but that kind of seemed like that's what they thought. It was like, oh, our offense is just going to roll. We're just going to score so many runs that we're not going to have to worry about relief. And I don't know if there was some kind of loyalty from Leland with Valverde, and that's why they brought him back, or if it's just that's what they thought the solution was. Maybe they're going to give him a little bit to get his head right, come back, and then he'd be better. And that absolutely wasn't the solution. I mean, Benoit was good, but at certain points, it's like you could tell he was shaky, and I don't know if he's the direction that you want to go. Obviously, the Bruce Rondon experiment didn't work well either.
But he's young. He's young.
Exactly. He was the successor to Valverde, and that's what they planned. That kind of blew up in their face right from the beginning. But I mean, he'll get better. He needs a little bit more time. But yeah, it was a huge failure to address the bullpen, and ultimately, it was their undoing. I don't think I'm hearing everybody, and I'm sure a lot of people will say it, they hate John or Jim Leland, and I've never been a Jim Leland supporter myself, but not too much of this was on him. I mean, he can make the right moves or he can make the wrong moves. He's going to get blamed for him, yada, yada, yada. But essentially, the bullpen and not having solid bullpen was that. It was exactly that. That was the issue. And yeah. he can't control having Benoit throw a first pitch strike right in the wheelhouse of David Ortiz, and then he hits a grand slam. He can't control that.
Yeah, moving on to the future of the Tigers, and we'll start with Mr. Leland. Will Jim Leland be the Detroit Tigers manager starting next year?
Yeah, absolutely. And just like I said, I've never been a big Jim Leland supporter, but I think the franchise likes him, the players like him. It's either a love-hate thing with him for some reason. People really criticize a lot of the moves they do, or you either love him. But yeah, he'll be back. I think Dombrowski likes him. The only reason why I would see him being gone is if for some reason we've all heard, you know, Bud Selig's leaving at the end of next season, is it?
Yeah.
The only reason I could see that maybe he wouldn't be back is I've heard that maybe David Dombrowski's name is in the running for commissioner, and he's one of the more highly touted, guys for that job. So maybe if somebody new comes in and they replace him then, but I think he's back for another season. I think Dombrowski likes him. The players love him from everything I've heard. And I don't see why he wouldn't be back.
So
I don't know if I'm content with that, but I don't know why I don't see any reason he'd be back. He wouldn't be back.
So same question I asked about the Dodgers. What do the Detroit Tigers need to do to go to the World Series next year?
It's exactly that, bullpen. You shore up your bullpen. Obviously, you don't need to. Your starting rotation is as good as it's going to get. And I just think you need to figure out something with Prince Fielder. During the regular season, he's fine. In the playoffs, he's a completely different player. But I think you need – I don't know if maybe you can consider Austin Jackson a real leadoff hitter anymore, considering how much he's struggled. But you need to find somebody else to supplement both Victor Martinez and Miguel Cabrera. And Johnny Peralta is going to be interesting to see what happens with him. I don't know if he'll be back. I hope to see him back, but I don't know if he will be. I don't think he will be either, but if they can get him back, I think it'd be awesome. I think their starting rotation's good. The bullpen and their closer situation they need to figure out. But other than that, I just think they need to get a few more bats, and I don't know how it's going to work out. But I think number one is the bullpen. If you don't shore up the bullpen, you're in for another disappointment.
Yeah, they need to spend some money on the bullpen. I know Peralta's a free agent, so it's not even a matter of trading. But if you lose Peralta, that's a decent-sized contract you're losing. You don't really need to replace his position because Iglesias is far better, in my opinion, than Peralta.
Long-term, that was an excellent deal. I wasn't keen on it when it first happened. But after watching Iglesias play, man, he's a hell of a ball player. You want a little bit more out of his bat, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. He's not the greatest hitter, but like.
But you don't get out of the bat, you make up for in defense. And I'll take that any day.
Yeah. He's a phenomenal shortstop. And so, I mean, you don't really need Peralta. Let him go, lose that money, and spend that money and then some on some relief pitching. Brian Wilson's a free agent. Just to name one of very many. I mean, I know a lot of teams that were disappointed this year are probably going to be looking to unload some people. Maybe like the Braves. Braves really only made the playoffs, to be honest, because the Nationals sucked as bad as they did. So, I mean, there's going to be some teams who arguably had disappointing seasons who are probably going to try to clear some payroll and take advantage of it. I mean, you got teams in your own division like the White Sox who are rebuilding. And I mean, not that as a White Sox fan, I think there's anybody on the team that anybody would want is in the relief position. But I mean, you got to do something. You got to spend some money. And I still think they're one of the best teams in baseball. I don't want to admit it, and I'm still going to be a hater. But I mean, they're talented. I don't think hitting is so much an issue as much as you're saying. But then again, I mean, they're kind of screwed once injuries come up.
Exactly. They have nobody down there. I mean, I don't know. And the other one thing I want to add to the Tigers thing is they've got a shelf life now. You're going to see it slowly start ticking away. They've been to two World Series since 2006. They've won the division 3 years in a row and yet have failed to win a World Series. I think they now have a little bit of a shelf life. There's a clock that's ticking down, and if something doesn't happen soon, you're going to see a lot of changes come. Because Miguel Cabrera is a free agent next year. I've heard, and this was the other thing I forgot, I've heard a lot of rumors that are saying Scherzer's going to be gone come next year. I don't know if it's true or not.
That would be a dumb move, but I mean, I think there's going to be teams that are willing to spend the big money. And I mean, Tigers are a team willing to spend, but Tigers don't nearly have the payroll that like a Dodgers do or Angels or even Texas at this point spends a lot of money. I mean, it that would be interesting. I mean, for me, he's one of those guys where if you're going to give someone a long-term contract for millions and millions of dollars, he's the kind of guy you do. Because, I mean, I don't think he's – I mean, he had a phenomenal year, but I don't think he's even as good as Verlander is in reality. But, I mean, he's a great pitcher.
He's clutch. He's a big-time pitcher.
You get the same thing every single day. You're never going to get the bad version. I mean, he's solid every single time. And I'm sure he had a great season this year. But, I mean, even thinking back to the past few years, I mean, Scherzer is always good. He always was good. Maybe not this good, but, I mean. No, he was never bad.
I think you saw the full evolution of Max Scherzer this year. You saw it all come together. Yeah. And I would hate to see that leave right now. But the reason I'm hearing is they want to unload the contract and maybe use the money elsewhere to kind of develop some other pitching. I don't see why that would help, but I mean, people seem to think it's a good idea, obviously.
Yeah, I couldn't see doing that. Now, getting off teams that no longer play, the Boston Red Sox and the St. Louis Cardinals are going to the World Series. I didn't see...
Too much red in the World Series.
I didn't see this happening at all, but real, real interesting match. I mean, this is, I believe... seen today. This is the third time since 2004, or no, this is the fourth time since 2004 that they've met in the World Series. Essentially, every single time Boston goes, St. Louis ends up going. I was bandwagon Dodgers fan all the way. Really, really didn't want to see the Cardinals go. The Cardinals is a team that you hate, at least for me. I hate them, but I don't really have a reason to hate them. I'm just jealous at how good they are. I mean, in reality, they're doing everything the right way. They're building everything through the minor league system. They have somebody to replace. Everybody's replaceable at this point. Like, they're doing everything phenomenal. But I'm gonna have to say I'm cheering for the Red Sox. I'm not gonna say that they're gonna win it, but I'm cheering for the Red Sox.
Really?
Yep.
Oh man. Yeah. This is kind of different for me. It seems like there's the team that's the proven team that there's the Cardinals. They've got the rotation, they've got the bats, they've been there before, they've done it before. And then there's the Boston Red Sox who have had this massive resurgence, and they kind of seem to be like the team of destiny this year, as stupid as that may sound, and if you believe in that crap. But, I mean, everything seems to be working the right way for the Red Sox. I don't know, I guess if I had to pick one, right now, I'm going to go with the Cardinals. I've been a little bit of a fan of the Cardinals this year. I've never really been a big Red Sox fan, and that's why I think it has to do with me picking the Cardinals. But I just love the Cardinals rotation so much.
Oh yeah, that's why I'm not going to say the Red Sox are going to win it, because after what I've just witnessed, I don't know that they can lose. Period. I wouldn't be shocked if the Cardinals sweep the Red Sox.
But I'm not going to be disappointed.
I'm going to cheer for the Red Sox and hope they can pull it off.
I'm not going to be disappointed in whoever wins, because essentially both teams are great teams. Seasons. I'd rather see the Cardinals win, but that's just me. I mean, you got some interesting pitching matchups you're going to have. I think game one, you're probably going to have, it's going to be Wainwright against Buchholz, which is interesting.
Buchholz
Wednesday night.
Buchholz pitched last game.
Did he?
Yeah.
No, it was 2 games ago, wasn't it? No, it was last night.
I guess it really doesn't matter, though. Yeah, nothing starts till Wednesday.
Yeah, so he's gonna have enough rest. It's gonna be,
yeah,
5 days, so he'll be good. But
they're gonna start their rotations fresh. So it would be Buchholz and
I can't remember. I think Boston has home field advantage because they won the All-Star game.
Yeah, so it's gonna be Buchholz and Wainwright, which I mean, all of it's good. I think getting down to number four, Jake Peavy has done terrible in the playoffs so far, and that's gonna provide some issues for the Red Sox.
I think Peavy's kind of a huge X factor. If they can get anything productive out of him at any point, it's a huge plus side for Boston, because he's the third guy, you know, and one of those three games is going to be a huge, huge deal, whether it's 2-0, 1-1, that third game is always a huge deal.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how it goes. Like I said, I'm going to cheer for the Red Sox. I like Koji Uehara a lot.
Koji was so good.
Yeah, and his delivery is awesome. I mean, there's just so much to like about Koji. He's fun. David Ortiz, I don't care what anybody says about him. He's fun. He's for me, he's in the Puig level. He makes the game fun.
He's just so carefree. That's one of the things I like about Ortiz, too. And he always seems to get the big hit when you need it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to root for the Red Sox, but in reality, I think the Cardinals will end up winning it.
The only one thing I just want to interject here, and it's stupid, I guess the only one of the other reasons why I don't want the Red Sox to win is because I'm so tired of hearing about the beards.
I love the beards.
Oh, God, I hate the beards so much.
I'm a big beard guy.
I wish Fox would cover a little bit more so I never get tired of it.
Yeah, I mean, the Fox broadcast, by the way, if just going on a little side note, has been way shittier than the TBS broadcast. the TBS broadcasts have been so nice, and like they just felt so polished and clean and great. And Fox feels like when I'm watching the games on Fox, I feel like I'm watching like a MLB classic game from like 2003 or something like that.
Oh man, you know, not a fan of Joe Buck and Mr. McIver.
Well, it's not even just that. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like them, but it just, even like the visuals on the screen, like their design. And I mean, obviously I'm a quote unquote filmmaker on the side, so stuff like that matters to me, but like, it's just, it looks ugly. I don't know how it comes in for you guys, but like down here in North Carolina, it comes in really goofy. Like it's almost like they're shooting it 4x3, so like square, like Instagram picture size, but then they're blowing it up to my widescreen. And like, it's really weird and ugly. And it just seems so amateur. I feel like I'm watching the playoffs on PBS.
Yeah, no, I think TBS had a good broadcast. I've heard a lot of criticisms from a lot of things, especially especially like their pregame when it's kind of new and everybody's getting used to each other. But I thought the broadcast for TBS is way more enjoyable than Fox. I think any broadcast on Fox is pretty terrible, to be honest with you. I've been kind of vocal. I've never really been a big fan of Joe Buck, and then Tim McCarver's gone at the end of the year because he's retiring.
Yeah.
But I mean, I agree. I think that TBS's broadcast just looks nicer from an aesthetic point. It just looks nicer.
It just seems more polished, and Fox seems more amateur, but I guess we have Fox for the rest of the playoffs now. So.
Yeah, you get Joe Buck again.
Great.
I know, right?
But I guess getting back on track, I don't really have much more to add to the Red Sox-Cardinals. I think it's a great pitching matchup. Obviously, in my opinion, the Cardinals have better pitching, but I think the Red Sox have better hitting. I think when it comes to bullpen, I think the Red Sox have a little bit better bullpen. But a lot of times that's not mattering with the Cardinals because you have like people like Wainwright and Kelly, Waka Waka going.
Waka Waka? Man, if he can be as solid as he was in that last series, then, I mean, how do you stop a 1-2 with Wainwright and Waka? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And everybody forgets Waka's still only 21.
He turned 22 the other day.
Oh, 22, I'm sorry.
22 years old.
But, I mean, what he's at that age, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I a lot of these times, though, you got Wainwright, Kelly, Waka, they're going 8 innings. I mean, it doesn't matter what their bullpen's like at this point. I mean, with the few exception of the games that the Dodgers were actually getting hits from them, they weren't really using their bullpen. So, I don't know.
It seems like runs are going to be at a premium in this series, given everything I've seen from the last couple series.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hell of a pitching duel.
Yeah. I don't really have much more to add to the conversation about Red Sox-Cardinals. I'm not sure if you have any predictions or anything that you think is going to come from here.
No, I don't. I think it's going to be fun to watch. So I don't really have a whole lot more to add. And that's going to be our show for the week. Just a reminder, you can find us, as always, on Facebook and Twitter by searching Wood with Handles.
I believe the only place that you will be listening to this right now is on iTunes. If you are listening to iTunes, like it, leave us feedback. Also, you can leave us feedback on Twitter and Facebook. We like it. We didn't really talk about Puig a lot this year. This episode, we still love him. Haters gonna hate. He's gonna be back next year and just as good, if not better. So, thanks for listening. Just do us the big favor and, give us the likes and, dislikes and, let us know how you feel about us.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Josh. Thanks for listening.